everyone. Today is May 13th, 2010. This is Screwdriver. Bill's not going to be able to join us tonight. He might call in on the phone. I'm not sure yet. He's got a couple things going on he's got to take care of. But I just got back from Nashville Monday night, and I had a great time. I met a lot of interesting people, made some friends for life. But as you know, with anything that you do for a charity, you're gonna have your ups and downs. And we had a couple of issues. The one I'd like to talk about though is the guy from the leather company. Decided he had already given out the jacket and wasn't going to give up the jacket that the guy won. And he talked to everybody. He talked to Baker. Chuck and I were standing there, and words were exchanged, and tempers flared a little bit. But in the end, the man got his jacket. And kind of worked out real good because he was very happy. He said he was going to win it. I guess he had told Baker he was going to win the jacket in the beginning anyway. And he did. And later on, I guess, the lady called and they tried to apologize and said that they made a big mistake or they were sorry or something like that. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly what was said. But I actually told the guy. I leaned into his ear and I told him that, got to do the right thing here, man. This is for a charity. And he decided to come up with the jacket. I don't know if it was my appearance or my attitude, but it all ended out good when the man got the jacket. He was happier than a wall at Christmas. And like I said, you're going to have your ups and downs, and there were some ups and downs, but it was a great ride. I kind of stayed in the background and held on the fort while things happened downtown, and then it was just great to see them guys coming over the bridge and the helicopter up in the air, which wasn't an FBI helicopter, an ATF, or a gang task force helicopter. It was a private helicopter that was brought in to film the ride. And the guy who did that, he had some interesting stuff. He had another one that was radio controlled. I've seen them before, but not at a charity run. Sometimes out in front of my house, up in the air, but wherever one of those is, the Blue Gang isn't far behind them. So I just want to let you guys know that it was great. I made some friends. The only problem is I don't know what's going on, but Hermes is sick, Chuck's sick, I'm sick. Biker Chad's sick. The only one that didn't get sick was his dad. And we're still trying to figure out what it was. I don't know. I don't think it was the water. I don't think it was the food because it was a fantastic cook. And if she hadn't heard that, I'm saying she was a fantastic cook. She made some burgers that I never had one of those before, but it was pretty cool. It's called the Juicy Lucy. And they were good. And, I mean, I don't know what else to say, but like I said, I made some friends for life. And I hope I get to see those guys in June because one of our friends of the show, Tony Barger, is going to be at Illusion Cycles up in Westminster, California. And he's going to be autographing his new book. And this will be a book signing, an all-day event. And if anybody wants information on that, you can shoot me an email, or I'll see if I can. Usually when Bill's here, I have free hands, but now I need four hands. So if I don't get it up in there right away, I will get it in for you guys. I'm not sure. Yes, Baker, everybody's sick. Nobody knows what it was. Can't be the water. I don't know. I caught a bad cold, and Chuck and Hermes are parked on with handles on the bowl. And I don't know. You know, I don't. I like you asking Baker. Everybody's sick. Yes, they're all sick. I don't know what it was. I mean, I know. I went for a ride. I was on Baker's bike. I drove her back to the house, and he was kind of up a mile and a half or a mile or so in front of me, waiting for me to catch up. But I was just digging the ride. I haven't been back to that part of the country in a long time, and you know, it's good. Wow, I don't know. It was a great ride. Everything was green. Going on a freeway, the trees, there were so many trees, my dog would go nuts. California, we don't have those kind of trees. We don't even have the greenness that they had. It was crazy. But, yeah, it was crazy. It was a great ride. I mean, I if you ask Baker, I sounded like a little kid when I came back, when I got to the house. And if Baker wants to call in, I know he's in the chat right now. If he wants to call in, that would be great. We can talk about it. But, yeah, it was crazy, man. So, like I said, if Baker, you want to call in, that would be great. We'll rehash a little bit here, and we can talk about the sickness. I don't know. I don't think it was I don't know. I didn't drink that much water. If I did, I drank it out of a bottle. But, yeah, I don't know. I know Chuck's still sick, and I talked to Hermes. He's still sick. I'm on the tail end of it. So I don't know. And then I just got some other news. I don't know if Baker'd like me to share this, but got a new addition to the family, a little girl. And I guess everything's okay. Baby's healthy. I guess they're going to keep him or keep her for another day, make sure everything's okay. But according to they're all excited. It's great. I don't know if this is the first one or the second one. I didn't ask. I was excited when he told me that the Sonia's daughter had the baby. They were kind of like on pins and needles waiting for a call during the weekend, but I guess it happened during the week here. But, yeah, it's like, I don't know. But I have Baker's on the line. Are you there, buddy?
Hey, brother. What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, man. I'm sorry to hear you guys aren't doing so good.
Oh, no, me, man. You know me. I'm a hard charger, man.
I hear you.
You know, I talked to those guys. I talked to those guys Tuesday. Irma said he had handles on his bowl, and Chuck had the same thing, so.
Wow.
But I don't know.
Well, you know, Geneva had all that, and then her manager had that, too. Dwayne had it really bad. And
yeah.
They were warning. That's why I guess when he was like giving hugs and hanging out, is like, stay away, because I was like, I don't want it. So I think it's something that's been going on, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I know if you have some devastation like that, you always have the after effects. And if the water plants were down, I'm sure something happened. Probably could have got it taken a shower too. I don't know.
Yeah, it could have been that, but I mean, but Geneva came from out of town and she had it, so it was like a virus or a bug or something, because I know that she was messed up and she was just getting over it. I don't remember if you remember her talking to Hermes or whatever. She was just getting over it when she got to town, and then her manager, he was all full-blown with it when he got here, so
mm-hmm.
We were kind of trying to keep a little bit of a distance.
Well, you might have kept the distance, but I got a hug.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that, brother. I'm sorry to hear everybody came to town and got sick, because
No, don't take it like that, man. Shit happens.
I hear you.
It had nothing to do with you, brother. Nothing. And then, like I was saying, I gave somebody else one of your CDs. She's in the chat room. And it's like, you know, she wrote to you that... She heard your CD today, freaking love it, and so do my clients. Go Team Baker. So
cool,
I
appreciate it.
I'm helping you out from the outside in.
That's great, brother. I need all the help I can get, and thanks Junebug. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, I'll tell you who Junebug is off the air.
All right. Cool.
But Yeah, so hey, tell me about the baby, man. What's going on? So give me a little background there, a little more than I cut you off because I was going on the air, but now I'm going to give you a chance to sound off being a grandpa.
I can't. I'm gonna let Sonia do that because she's the proud first-time grandmother. Here, I'm going to let her tell you.
Okay.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you? Not so good, I hear.
Good. You look too young and pretty to be a grandma.
Oh, thank you.
So tell me, what happened? A little girl? How many pounds?
A little girl. She's 5 pounds, 7 ounces, 16 and 3/4 inches long. She's doing really well. She's just like a little bag of sugar, 5 pound bag of sugar.
Mm-hmm. How you doing?
Good,
all the stress
good.
Gone now?
Pardon?
I said, how you doing? All the stress gone now?
Yes, it's getting better.
That's good.
We're kind of lost because we don't have anything to plan or do right now, so we're trying to find something
else to
get into.
Come on out to California. I got lots of things to do.
I'm on my way. I'm on the next flight.
Okay, no problem.
Right,
I'll even get you a scooter to ride.
Okay. You're on.
Yeah,
I'll be there.
If you're long enough, I'll send you to class so you can get your license.
That would be great. I've been dying to do that. Baker won't let me do it.
Why?
So you can aid me.
I can. Okay, yeah, I'll help you. No
all
problem.
Right.
I'll help you out. But, it's like I was talking about the run and the ride and stuff, and I elaborated a little bit on the leather guy trying to be a schnook. But, yeah, I didn't think I had such a command presence. I was surprised. I was actually surprised he came up with the jacket.
Really?
Yeah, because I really didn't threaten him. I just talked to him real nice. It was kind of, I talked,
well,
he listened, and up came the jacket.
Well, I think you talked really nice, and he listened to you.
Yeah, I think that frown I had on my face had something to do with it, too, but, you know.
You guys were so helpful and so wonderful, and it was so great meeting all of you. You were great.
You guys, too. I mean, you know, hey, and I'm bragging on them Juicy Lucy burgers.
Hopefully that didn't make you sick.
No. No. So what's on the agenda? You guys, what do you plan on doing? Just hanging out for a few days or what?
We're just trying to chill out for a few days. I'm going to be heading back to Kentucky this weekend to hold my grandbaby some more. And then we're trying to get everything set up to where we can come out to California for your signing that you have out there. Yes.
Perfect.
So we're hoping
to
be able to make that.
Perfect. And then yeah, that's going to be a good time, very good time. And I'll clue you guys in on the ins and outs of that, but not on the air.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll give you back to Baker.
Okay. Thank you. Have a
and
right. Congratulations again.
Thank you, Philip. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, brother.
Yeah, man. So, like I said, it's congratulations and anything you want to talk about?
Hey man, I do want to comment on the leather guy thing. I mean, that one of those deals where I was glad to have some brothers around me, and especially you to help support that incident, because that was a pretty unusual. I don't know if it was unusual or not, but it just was like a real pissy incident, man, that I didn't appreciate. And I really thank you for stepping up to the plate with us and taking care of that.
Yeah, you know, I'm the guy you got to worry about in the back of the room sometimes.
Yeah, it was happening, man. I think the point was made, and you know, we had somebody try to, you know, pretty much, you know, pull a fast one on us, and
true.
You know, you got up in there, man, and straightened that mess out, and that's what I needed to see and needed to have done. So I was so thankful. I had so much on my plate. I had too much to do, and without you being here, man, you helped out greatly. And
Well, you know, when that conversation started outside the door, I kind of got the feeling, and then I seen the look of frustration on your face. So I was thinking in the back of my mind, I'm going to settle this, and I did.
Yeah, that guy, man, he was just trying to pull a fast one on everybody and get out for something for nothing, and, you know, we all honored our word on our end, and he just didn't want to honor his, and you'll run into that, man. You'll see that happen, but...
Yeah, you know, it's just like when you do your first one, you know, you learn from your mistakes, and usually the second one's a little better than the first one, and then by the third one, you got it on track.
Well, I can tell you, man, without you being here, man, I got to tell you, you know, you kept it together for me, and what helped me the most with keeping this whole thing together was knowing that I had the support behind me, you know, with you and Biker Chad and Chuck and Hermes and everybody standing there. I can't say enough about how much that, you know, think about it, brother. I mean, you know, everybody came to Nashville from, you know, all points of the country. You know,
mm-hmm.
We had Do-Rag Brothers come in. You know, we had you come in, man, from California. You know, Biker Chad out of Wisconsin. We had Chuck and Hermes out of the East Coast. Who the hell does that? You know, Paul Cote.
Yeah.
I mean, that was for a first-time event and people that never met each other personally, face-to-face. And,
well, that's the thing about the band of brothers, man. People don't understand that it's entrenched or it's embedded. You know, we both learned that in the Marine Corps, and I think we taught those guys some over the weekend.
Yeah, I tell you, man. I think I have to tell you this, and this is from the bottom of my heart, Philip. That the best day of the weekend was the day that we got to hang together the next day. Because,
Yeah. You
know, it was a wind-down day, man. We got to just go down to the biker bar here in Nashville and just chill. I mean, there was no pressures no more. There was nothing else to do but just, like, hang out.
Yeah,
and,
you know, though, I have one complaint, though, man. You know, you take me to a bikini beach bar or biker bar, and there's no fucking women in bikinis.
there was like 20 ugly
chicks and one good-looking one, you know? Usually out here in California, it's 20 good-looking ones and one ugly chick.
It was the week after the flood, man. There wasn't no beach left.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Yeah, everybody was hunkering down and doing what they were doing.
But that was cool, man. That was like a bonding session, brother. And whether you know it or not, that was a great moment for me because we both got to know each other, you know?
Well, I wish in hindsight I'd have directed you some better traffic to come through some other country roads, man, and do a little more riding around here and had got, you know, got the bike thing straightened out. There was just so much stuff to do.
No worries, brother. Everything got cured when I made that ride to the house. Trust me. You know when I got there, I was acting like a little kid, just got a Christmas present, man.
I hear you, man. Well, I tell you, man, I had nothing but a good time that day, and I think that day, you know, having you hanging back and chilling, it was just, you know, like you say, man, I'm using your words, I'm stealing your thing, man. Take a deep breath, and you know, it's like sniper fire, right? I know the drill, brother. I've been there. It's like sniper fire. Take a deep breath, and you know, there it is.
Absolutely.
Squeeze that trigger. Squeeze
don't
that trigger.
It,
don't
squeeze.
Pull it. That's right. That's right.
But, no, I mean, you know, it was great, and I hope you guys get to come in June. And,
man,
as soon as you do that, I want you to confirm with me, and then I'll get you set up.
Man, we're doing battle with that right now, man. It's going to shake itself out over the weekend because we had to go do the thing with the baby and everything. And
that's fine.
We're doing battle. We're tying up loose ends and just praying that a couple things fall together so we can get ourselves out there. That's
mm-hmm.
what we're trying to do.
Did you get all the other stuff straightened out we talked about?
I'm working on it, man. That's the stuff I'm trying to work out. I mean, I got that on my plate for tomorrow big time. And because we left, man. We had to peel out. You know,
yeah.
The baby
no,
was
no,
born.
I and if,
the baby was born
if
and we
any
had
help,
a lot
brother,
of stuff
Tommy.
To do it. No, we're okay for the moment. A lot of things shake out of the tree tomorrow and over the weekend. And, you know, I really want to get this worked out so I can go because, you know, I am a California native in the fact that I've been out there since the 70s, and I happen to have a house in Nashville right now, but here I am. I'm doing everything I can to get our asses back out there.
Yeah, and I'm doing everything I can by playing that CD wherever I can and giving it to whoever I can.
Yeah, I'm very grateful for that, Philip, man. I really appreciate it because that's all, you know, it's like anything, brother, in word of mouth, is more important than anything you can do, and I really appreciate it because at the end of the day, you know, I'm a musician and a songwriter and a biker all at the same time, and, you know, we got to get out there and do what we do and, you know, to earn our living.
It's like, when you told me, you know, you sent me that email about the review, man. That was, hey, that compared to those people, unbelievable, brother, unbelievable. Neil Young, Poco, Creedence, I was like, when I read that, my jaw dropped.
Well, that guy was head of MCA, man.
And I can understand why.
I was very shocked. He was head of MCA Promotions for many years and had his own radio show and still is very active in the music industry. Of course, he has his website, and he still does what he does. And I was just shocked when somebody sent that to me and said, hey, man, did you know this review just came out? And I said, no. And I looked at it, and I was like, well, you know, it's not somebody blowing smoke from, because I don't know the guy. You know, I guess I could feel that way if you wrote it. Maybe I could say, well, that's my brother Philip wrote me a beautiful review, but I don't know the guy from Adam. You know what I mean? So that's why it really struck home even deeper. And I appreciate all the help and support that you lend me, man, and everything that goes on. Because at the end of the day, like I said, man, you know, I'm a biker musician out there riding the roads and doing my thing and trying to do what we're all trying to do, man. I'm involved politically and charitably and just living life, man, to the fullest.
Yeah, and you know, I'm gonna do something because I know somebody wanted to talk to you, and I'm gonna see if she wants to call in right now, and that
cool.
would be Junebug.
Cool.
Yeah, she was digging your music, and she's played it at. She has a tanning salon, and she played it there today. Everybody was digging it.
Cool. Very cool.
They're typing to me in the chat, but I'm gonna get them. I'm gonna get them on here, so we can ad lib for a minute. But you know,
okay, cool.
The funny thing is, man, is when you meet somebody, you know, and you get that feeling that you're gonna get along. You know, and as soon as, like, when you guys picked me up at the airport and said, look at that fucker's California tan, I was like, my fucking chest went three sizes better. I was like, yeah, good, I already made him jealous.
Hell, brother, you know, there's very few times, and we all meet a lot of people on the road and in life, and there's very few times that you go down that road, and we meet a lot of people, and we're friends, and we love everybody, of course, but at the same time, man, there's very few times where that moment happens, and for all of us, man, that moment happened, and especially, like I said, I can't say enough about our Sunday. I've said it to Sonia a half a dozen times. I said, man, the most important thing that happened to me over the weekend was that, you know, Philip got to be hanging the day over, and that was so perfect. It just
well,
was
I,
like,
I kind of planned it that way, man. I'll be honest. I kind of planned it that way because I knew it was going to be to use a word that you'll know, a clusterfuck in the beginning, during, and after. You know?
Well, we could have hated each other, brother. You could have been stuck planning it that way. You could have been saying, you know what? I think I'm going to go get a different hotel or stay somewhere else. You know, it wasn't a clusterfuck for us because we could have been stuck, and we weren't because we knew, hey, this is cool. This is relaxed. It was like hanging with your family. It was like, hey, man, my brother's here from out of town. We're hanging out, man.
Yeah, that's how I felt before I even got there, man. When we talk on the phone, that's how I felt.
Yep. It's all good, brother. And Sonia's getting ready to put her knockout shirt on.
There
next
you
time
go.
We go riding. Next time we go riding and it's cool, that's her shirt and the bike.
And send me a picture and I'll put it up. And then I have Junebug's on the air. Are you there, Junebug?
Hi, I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm
Baker,
doing
this
good,
is Junebug.
Hey, Baker, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Junebug?
I'm doing all right. I wanted to thank you again for putting your music out there. My customers loved it today. I played that thing so many times, I think I know the words by heart.
Oh, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you're a native Californian, where are you getting that accent?
Well, I guess it's all that dang travel. Too many years back here in this side of the country.
Is that what happens?
Yeah, I think once you, you know, I think you become a, somehow at some point, a certain degree, you become a product of your environment in some ways. I mean, it's some situation, you just kind of pick up the slang that surrounds you.
Oh, I'm well aware. I grew up in the Valley in L.A., and back in my day, it was the Valley Girls, and oh, yeah, I had it. Oh, God, it was bad.
I still got it the way you're talking.
I do not. I do not. Anyway, but yeah, I wanted to thank you. Yeah, right? It's my story. Bet out.
But
what?
Very cool. So where's your place at? Where's your salon at?
It's in Oceanside here, down here in Oceanside, right off the 5 freeway. It's been here for about 14 years. So if you and your wife ever want to tan your butt, you know, you know where to go. Might be a little bit of a drive for you, but it's all good.
Well, hell yeah, man. I mean, that'd be a pleasure drive for sure, you know?
Right? You know, because you have to have that tan.
Tanner butt. Tanner butt.
Hey, easy now. I know this is an adult show, but... But hey, no, I want you guys to stay on. I'm going to bring Janine in.
Okay.
Hello, Janine.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey, Janine.
Hi. I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good.
Janine, how are you doing? Good to hear from you.
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Janine, that's Baker.
Yes, I know.
Okay.
Well, it's obvious it's not me.
I was getting to you. Don't get excited now. And that's Junebug.
Hey, Janine, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. How are you?
I'm doing good. I want to commend you for holding your own last week.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, that was a little tough.
You did very well.
Yeah, nothing I can't handle.
Right?
Yeah. So are you calling in for a question?
Phil asked me to come on, so here I am.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
While you're there, ask Janine and she'll tell you.
Okay. Janine, what do you need to tell me?
Okay. Let me see. What do I need to tell you? All right. Let me see. Give me 1 second here.
Junebug, turn down the sound in the background, please.
Got it.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm hearing that again?
Yeah.
Again? No.
Like the Twilight Zone.
Yeah. Okay, let me see. Alrighty. Okay, the first card I get for you is the Four of Wands. So I'm picking up on possibly are you trying to tighten things that are going on in the salon right now?
Trying to connect.
Yeah, like connecting the women together more. Are they getting catty, or there's not a connection? Are you trying to get them more connected to each other?
As far as like my employees or my clients?
Both.
Yeah, there is something going on. There's something in the works. Yeah.
You gotta tighten them together. When you tighten them together and you attune them to each other, even if they don't get along or even if they don't care for each other's personalities, if you can find the commonality between them and if you can start with praising them and making them feel good about themselves and doing little extras for them, like even on a daily basis, and get them to be happy in there, you're going to turn out much better.
We have a pretty happy salon. Yeah, it's pretty amazing the way, you know, everybody gets along. And, you know, we've got customers that'll come in, and they're military wives. You know, we honor our military there in a really huge way. And the wives, you know, they take turns watching each other's kids so that they can tan. Sometimes it's really, really noisy in there, but it's cool. It's really glad to see them getting together, exchanging phone numbers, and, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, you make sure that you keep it that way. You make sure
Absolutely.
That you keep it a very, very happy, enjoyable environment. And if there's anything else new that you thought of to bring in, I would absolutely act on that.
Absolutely. Okay, that's so good to know, because there is something really big that I'm sitting on. That yeah. Thank you.
It's going to happen, and it's going to be a wonderful benefit to what you're doing now. It's going to be really tremendous for you, and it's going to go off perfect. It's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be a very, very happy environment. But you have to make sure that the people that are working for you, or mm-hmm. people that you have there, in as far as assistants and as far as people that if you have to hire out, like, people who do services for you, you have to make sure they all get along. It's very, very important.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, that's number one is key.
Absolutely, like a family. And so
yeah.
you treat it accordingly, and you'll never fail. As long as you understand that basic principle, you will never fail.
Right.
The second card I get is the Hierophant. So is there a controller, a man, a very powerful man who's like in control or oversees everything that you're doing? Like maybe even
he thinks he is.
Not a big talker, this person.
What's
not
that?
A very big talker. He's not a very big talker. He's not the best at communicating his feelings. He's kind of silent, but however, he doesn't put up with nonsense, and he's
mm-hmm.
very business. He's very by the book. He's very law oriented. And,
oh, God, I wonder who you're talking about. God, I'm completely clueless. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay,
yes.
This is Philip.
Hi,
Do you remember when you told me I'd meet a blonde that might change my life?
Yes. Is this the blonde I'm speaking to right now?
Maybe.
Is this the person?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Are you kidding me? Are you teasing me?
No, he's really serious.
Janine?
He about fell out of his chair when you said that to him.
Yes?
I'm telling you, I'm going to come clean now, but this wasn't a setup, but yes. That's the blonde you were talking about.
Okay, I don't know what to say. I am at a loss for words.
Well, I'll just say thank you.
And I'm going to say you're welcome.
Okay.
The
other thing I want to tell you is Hermes has your shirt.
He does?
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God. God, I can't wait. I'm so excited about that.
Yeah, he said he'd see you in maybe a week or so, but go ahead and finish with Junebug.
I'm going to right now. And we'll talk about that again, Phil. Junebug?
Yeah.
Okay. So did you get who the Hierophant is? Do you have a location on who this person is?
Yeah.
Okay. This person will not respond to the happiness factor. Do you understand what I'm saying about that?
Mm-hmm.
That is That's not going to affect him. He doesn't care how you pull it off. He wants to see the bottom line. So that to him is all in the air as far as he's concerned. That's not anything that's landed on paper. So that's not going to work with him. You have to get to this person in a different way. I don't know how. I don't know what the key is to him to unlock this big mystery with him. However, he's a controlling factor in what's going on.
Okay.
Fuck, I'm getting scared sitting here listening.
Well, I'm thinking that it might be somebody else that you're referring to.
This person is a control freak, to say the least. And a very powerful man.
Yeah, we're talking about my ex-husband then. Yeah, that kind of fits.
He's a powerful man, and he knows it. And he knows how to use his power properly. And he's got people behind him. So that tells me that he's backed up, so to speak. I don't know to what degree, and I don't know how that's going to affect you. But I know that he's a force to be reckoned with, sort of. And you kind of have to watch it with him. because he doesn't give you the warm fuzzies. Nothing warm and fuzzy.
Okay.
So he comes up. So that's another thing that you have to maybe put some attention on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the last card is very interesting. It's the Page of Cups. That tells me that there could be a love interest that's brand new. He's young, or if he's not young, he's young at heart. He has something to offer. He's giving. He's kind.
Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
Oh, now you got Philip. He's young at heart because we know he's not young.
What's up, brother? So the best thing I got going for me is I don't look my age.
There you go. It's that California tan.
Take that to the bank. If you don't look your age, there's half the battle right there, Phil.
Absolutely.
Okay, so this gentleman basically wrote his own code to who he is. He's very honest. He lives by whatever you see is what you get. He's very honest. He's open. And this person, this individual, he's a visionary. So he can see things way before they happen, that probably end up happening, okay? I don't know why he's coming up here, though. I don't have he's somewhat in the, like, he's somewhat the last card, so that tells me that the major of importance isn't there yet, but he's there, okay? Does that make any sense?
Okay. Yeah, it does.
Okay, so this person knows how to be self-motivated and make things happen and puts value on people and not on things. So he's not materialistic. I can't say the same thing about the Hierophant. The Hierophant is very, not that that card means that, but that person is very much into material possessions. This person
right.
is not.
Right.
Okay.
There's two opposite. Yeah, they're so completely opposite that it's mind-blowing.
Yep, completely. Completely opposite. So you have your hands full. Besides career, but the men in your life, you definitely have your hands full. And basically, you have a lot going on, like it simultaneously. So you need to focus when it's the attention for your business. You need to be all in business. When the attention and the focus needs to be on that controlling man, then all your energy and focus has to be to deal with that. You have to know how to place your energy to the proper people.
Right.
Does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense. It truly does. I just wish I had it set to be able to deal with that individual. It's my weakness in life, this man that you're talking of. And
right.
He's always been really good at controlling me. Never really thought that he was that smart of an individual until all hell broke loose. And then I realized how cunning he was, and he outwitted me. And that's what scares me most. It's because
right.
I really thought I had my shit together.
But you do. He wants you to think that you don't.
Didn't I tell you that?
Yeah,
you
did.
Didn't I tell you that?
Your business is the first card that I turned over. There's your happiness.
Right.
There's where you thrive. He cannot touch that with a 10-foot pole. Like I told
well,
you
technically
before.
Technically, he can't.
No. No. See, I told you before that happiness factor, he doesn't want to deal with that. That's bullshit to him.
Right.
So.
He just wants what he wants out of it if he can get anything out of it.
But he can't. He's going to try, but.
I know he is.
But when you focus on him, and
uh-huh.
you have to let the other stuff go, that's how you're gonna get it done with him. You can't go at him and be half-headed. You have to be all there. So I would start doing some research in regarding before you speak to him, if you have to deal with him. I would get your paperwork together, figure out what you're divorced, correct?
We're going through a divorce in California being a 50-50 state, even though it's
mm-hmm.
my salon and I own it, but I bought it
right.
during the marriage. He
oh.
thinks that he's an owner, and that's
well, we
been
can take
where
care
lies
of that,
the problem.
No problem.
It's kind of a headache. It really does consume way too much of my mind energy, but I think from what you're saying, I really need to focus in on that diligently and take the ball and run with it. I just need to get in line with a good attorney and get this shit hashed out.
Absolutely.
Get it done. Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know what? If you want me to be so bold, I will tell you, you need to get a female attorney. Not that I'm all about women and, you know.
Absolutely.
The woman power, but honest to God, in this case, you really need to have a female attorney and one that has won more cases than she's lost. So you need to research this woman, and you need to manifest her.
Actually, she's already been manifested. My mom gave me her information. She's out of San Diego. And, I mean, I just learned about her, 2 weeks ago when my mom was down here. And my mom
Beautiful.
Has said that she is like a bulldog in the courtroom.
And that's what you need.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you
so,
need to find out the loopholes about your business. Because
right.
even though you opened it in an X amount of year, it might those laws might not apply today. Do you understand
right.
what I mean? So she really
yeah.
needs to know her shit in order
right.
to deal with this. Because he's going to try to soak you. He really is.
No, I know. He already has. And he walked away with everything. And I just didn't put up the fight. I just said, you know what, whatever, be done, go. And I laid down. I completely laid down and let him, and I'm not letting him take this business, and I'm not letting him take my future.
And I don't see him taking it, so I got to be honest. This
right.
is all you, and this is how you're going to win, is by your happiness factor.
Right on.
And I promise you that. It's, as long as you're happy, he can't take that from you. So you got to figure out what it is that makes you really happy. Because if he's entitled to half of it, then you're going to do something else that he's not entitled to. But don't start
right.
anything new until you're divorced from him, please.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the wisest advice that I've been receiving. Because yeah.
As well as he lives in the safest place in Oceanside.
Thanks to Philip.
Well, you're gonna do very well. You will do very well. I'm not sure what he's entitled to because I don't know the California laws, but
right.
whatever he is entitled to, you're gonna have to figure out to make peace with that in your head and let it go. But whatever you build on from that divorce, Niecy, in your hand, whatever you build on, make sure it makes you happy, because that's
right.
where he can't touch that.
Right. Absolutely.
And now you're,
thank you.
Now you're going to be ironclad, and you're going to be fantastic. I can tell you that. I can see it here. So you have nothing
thank
to worry
you.
About.
Thank
you're
you.
You're welcome.
God, I appreciate that very, very much.
You're very, very welcome. Thank you for picking me to do this for you. I appreciate it.
I truly appreciate it. You're wonderful.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you. You made my whole night. Thank you.
Get out.
Thank you.
I'm sending you e-hugs.
Oh, I'm taking them. I'm gonna take them. I stepped away, but I'll be back. I'll check it out. I'll send them right back to you.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Baker, are you still
thanks,
there?
Love.
Baker? Well, I guess we lost Baker.
We did?
I don't know. I'm going to... Yeah, it says he's here, but I don't have him in the Baker. He was cooking, so he might be outside getting them Juicy Lucy burgers. I don't know.
Ah.
But Janine, this wasn't a setup.
Absolutely
not. I was just trying to figure out how to tell you.
Are you serious?
Yes. I actually met her the weekend before she told me.
This is a true fact.
What happened? Tell me what happened. How did it come about?
I was standing in front of the bar I usually stand in front of, and I was talking to one of my friends, and he was talking to Junebug, and then he made a couple of comments, and he didn't get it, but when I turned all my attention to Junebug.
Aha.
Yeah. We started talking, and... we took a walk and talked some more, and, yeah, we've been talking ever since.
Really, Phil? Oh, all right, well, one of you, when did this happen?
The week before.
Friday night before you told me what was going to happen.
It was a Saturday
okay.
night.
Oh,
okay.
Saturday. That's why I almost fell out of the chair when you said that.
Okay, let me ask you something, because I don't remember everything I said. I remember the blonde, but what was the circumstances surrounding it? What did
you
I tell you?
You just told me that,
that
I needed a blonde that was going to change my life.
For the good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But change
Absolutely.
Your life for the good. That it
Absolutely.
Was going to be a key to your success, I think, right? Isn't that what I said?
Yeah.
It was going to be a key to your... to your movement forward as to what it is that you're trying to do in this world, that she was going
to be. Exactly. I mean, she's
a motivator.
Yeah, that too. But she can honestly answer this question. When we walked, who followed us?
Yeah, the cops.
When we drove away, who followed me?
The cops.
I come by your house?
Never seen a cop here the whole time I've been here. He shows up, guess what? I get a nightly patrol twice a night. I'm like, sweet.
Really?
I
yeah.
sent him an email telling him I was going to be in Tennessee. I wouldn't be in town. They still went by there looking for me.
Yeah, when I was on the phone with him. Now, I don't get it. I don't get it at all. But yeah. Crazy.
Very strange.
Well, for all those naysayers out there that don't think this is happening, it's happening. It's real.
And
right
I gotta
now,
say, I'm cool with it. I know it's
yeah,
bad for
you
but it's been really good for me.
Well,
you're
in front of my house.
You can't go by what's on the surface with this. You know what I'm saying?
No,
right?
I'm not.
That's all surface.
Zumbug, turn down the sound.
I don't have my sound on.
Yeah, but
I'm
is Janine?
Hello.
Nope, Janine's here.
Hello. Cool. Am I back on?
Yeah. Yes. Hi, Baker.
Hi.
Hey. Ah, I finally got back in.
Baker?
Cool.
Baker,
yeah,
hey, why don't you see if Sonya wants to get a reading, man?
Yeah, she does. I mean, Sonya, I'm just going to give Janine a couple of hints. You know, there's some things going on that we want to know about, and especially with the new grandbaby, and then just see where she can go from there. I'm going to put Sonya on right now. Here you go.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes.
Hello.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you doing? I'm good. How are you tonight?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm excellent. Do you have something in particular, or do you just want me to turn for you?
Just turn for me. We've had so many things go on the last few weeks that we're just kind of, our heads are still just in a cloud of smoke. We're not sure which way to turn or which way to go, and just had a new grandbaby, so we're just kind of lost souls right now.
Okay. Well, nothing about the baby comes up. Okay. Just to get that out right up front. Nothing about the baby comes up. There's other things here that are coming up that you're going to. The first card I flipped was the Six of Wands, and I'm getting that you need to band and get people together because there's one, two, three. There's four riders, and they're all very close together with staff. So you need to arm yourself with the right people and connect with the right people for the proper information to go after whatever it is that you're facing, because you're not going to be able to do it alone, I can tell you that.
Okay.
All right. The second thing, I'll get back to that in a second. The second thing is the devil comes up in the middle, and that's telling me that you might be tempted by things that look good at first or things that are on just give me a second on how I need to explain this. You know when you meet somebody for the first time and they're very, very nice and very sweet, and then 3 months later you realize that they're fake and that sweetness isn't real at all? Okay, that same exact feeling is what I'm getting off of that card. So you can't trust the good feelings and the fake smiles right up front. You have to do a little bit of intuitive work to figure out if it's real or not before you move forward with a decision.
Okay.
That's why you need the backup, the people. Is there, like, is there something in as far as a legal thing going on right now?
No, nothing legal.
Where you need witnesses?
No, not that I realize at this moment.
Okay, just make sure that if you do have witnesses, that they're trustworthy. If you do need people to back you up, you have to make sure that they are definitely trustworthy and they're not looking for personal gain from this.
Okay. Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff going on right now where there are kind of a couple entities pulling us one direction and the other one tugging another direction. So that may be what, you know, where you're getting this from.
I'm getting also that this could, if you're telling me no, this could end up in a legal battle. Okay, so I want you to just be very prepared for what could happen from you not trusting your intuition with it. I know that sounds a little bit absurd because, you know, people like to see things in print and need scientific fact, but scientific fact is not what you need. How are you going to handle this? You have to trust your intuition. So basically,
okay,
if it doesn't feel good in your stomach, then you're not going to go forward with it.
Okay.
As far as your decision making, you have to go by. If it makes your stomach sick, I wouldn't do it. How's that for simplicity?
I got simplicity. That's very simple. I get that very.
Okay, do you have guilt also? Is there any guilt that is attached to this situation or one of them where you feel guilty if you...
No, not really.
Make sure you don't. Make sure there's no guilt. If you operate on your heart level alone, that's how you will get it done properly. If you operate out of guilt or obligation, that's where it's not going to happen.
Well, I think that's what, you know, maybe I get where you're coming from because I go against what I feel in my heart and so the pit of my stomach sometimes just to go along with what I'm thinking this, you know, this other person is right, and I follow that and go with that, even though I feel in the pit of my stomach it's not right. So
you got to stop doing that, or you're going to lose, and you'll lose big, because it's going to take a piece of you with it, and you can't have that. So going forward, whatever these issues are, I don't know what they are. I just don't. I simply don't know what they are. I'm not getting anything, but I'm getting how you could act on it. I am picking up on how you could possibly be feeling with these things that are attached to you or pulling you. So you have to operate on the heart level, and you do what's right by you first. You do what's right by you first, and everything else is secondary. But if you operate and you go by what's in your heart, you will have followers, and that is exactly what you need, are followers to handle some of these issues. Because you can't do it alone, and that is abundantly clear.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I'm not done. There's one more card here. But those wands, by the way, I'm just going to give you some information about what wands are. Wands are information, growth, education, spirituality, and for all the right reasons. Wands are not swords. Now, if I saw that it was the Six of Swords, I would say you have a fight ahead of you. But there is no fight yet. They're wands, so you need people that are on the same page as you are with the same type of viewpoints, like-minded people. You have to seek them out. You have to seek and sniff them out and figure out who's real and who isn't, because there's more to the situation than just maybe you and Baker, okay? There's other parties involved. So what you have to do is you have to figure out who's real and who's on your side. And that's how you're going to get it done.
Thank you so very much. You're always fun. I've talked to you before, and you always just hit home somewhere, you know, so thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. I have one more card. Do you want me to explain that one?
Please, please, yes.
Okay, the last card is the Four of Coins, and that tells me that there's not a lot of money here to be had with any of these situations. So a part-time job might be in order to keep you going financially. Are you working now?
Mm-hmm. I do.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
You're not up for a promotion or a raise or anything? Because this is about money here. So if you're not up for a promotion or a raise, or if you don't feel it's a good time to ask for one, then you might need to get a supplemental income to keep you afloat.
Okay, I hear you. I've actually been searching for, like, a part-time job, so that's kind of...
Really?
I really did say that, yeah. I just got a call today for another job, so that's really weird.
Okay, let me ask you something. Are you attached to this position, like, where it could make you feel good or pull you out of a daily funk? Is it something where you can release and still make money at the same time?
Sure, yeah.
That's the second job for you. If it's going to be grueling and a pain in the ass to get to and a pain in the ass to be there and you're grumpy, then I would say don't do it. This has to be a feel-good thing.
All right. Thank you so much.
Is it in the city?
Is it in the city?
Yeah. Is this part-time job surrounding, like, many, many businesses or establishments really close together?
The one I was looking at, the one that called me back today, yes, actually, it's in the city. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's probably going to be the place for you.
Like you're saying, we might as well jump off the bridge out of here.
No. You're going to pull through this, and you will come out ahead if you follow your heart.
Well, that's what I'm just learning to do. I've kind of... All the kids are from the nest, and, you know, a new grandbaby, and kind of just feeling a little lost out here. I'm used to doing and giving to, you know, all the other people around me, and so it's kind of difficult finding that path that I need to take and make me be okay and me feel good.
Well, you need to focus on that first, and congratulations on your grandchild. That's phenomenal news. Can you see this child whenever... Can you see this child?
No, she's about 3 hours away from me, so it's not undoable, but it's kind of a little out of the way.
Yeah, a little bit. I have issues in the car myself, so I can understand, like, if you don't have issues, it's still tough, but you got to see that baby whenever you can. Whenever you think you can go see that baby, I would go see that baby.
Oh, I will, believe you. Yeah, definitely will.
Absolutely. Well, I hope that this helps you, and, you know, feel free to call me again, you know.
Okay.
Either, you know, Bikers of America or even Hermes, or if you have any other questions, I will gladly answer them for you.
Thank you very much.
Send you an email with the contact information.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Phyllis.
Thank you, Sonia.
Bye, you guys. Uh-huh, bye-bye.
Bye.
That was pretty intense.
Yeah.
Hey, brother, were you shaking in your chair or what?
Yeah. So, drop the bomb on me, Janine. I mean, am I fixing, like, am I in a pile of shit or what?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Because, Janine, I know I'm with Sonia, you know, almost 24/7, and I know the situation you just described for her was, you know, pretty gruelingly on the mark, and nobody would know that but me, I would think, honestly.
Right. Well, you have your work cut out for you, too, and, you know, you have to find and this comes up for you, too, okay? You have to find the like-minded people to fight the good fight. You have to band certain people together in order to rise above whatever's being done to you. You can't stand for it. And the way you're going to do it is a lot of research. You have to really do a lot of research on this. You have to get people that are like-minded with you together to rise above whatever's being done to you. That's
well,
and you have to almost make it public or make it societal. It's not just a closed-off issue. It actually involves other people, and you might not be aware of it right now, but once you band these people together, you can rise above it and make a difference. But you can't do this alone, and that is the number one message, is that you just can't.
Well, I've already found that out, and not that I've ever set out to do anything alone. It's just that, you know, the mountain is tall, and, you know, all I can say about that is, you know, the bonding that we had with folks that came together over this last weekend
right.
has been great, and there's a great group of guys that came together for all that stuff alone. But I just think that what you said to Sonia was strikingly revealing in some ways. So I was
Excellent.
Curious to say, okay, now tell me where my ball of fire is, because when I heard that, I was like, okay.
Okay, here's your ball of fire. Is you're going to, there's a gap in the bridge that's being built, and this is the message. You're going to close that gap. You're going to arm yourself with the information that you need to overcome these demons, and you're part of the key to this. Even though you might not be loud, you might not be the voice in it, but you're going to be backup and you're going to be support, and you're going to bridge this gap that you need to mend the fence. There's a break in the fence, and you're going to mend it. Now, what you're going to do, I have no idea. I don't know. But if you're saying you're against this mountain, that tells me you got to get that tool that digs into the rock, and you got to get those shoes that you can, and you're going to have to tackle this to make it go away, because it's just not going to go away. So you're going to do something about it, and you're going to pull it off, and you're going to do it. That's the last card, is the magician. So you're going to pull whatever tricks you need to pull from what you know to be truth, and that's how you're going to get it done.
Well, I have to say, Janine, it surely don't feel like tricks, man. It feels like a lot of hard work and just insight and just trying to do stuff, because there's no tricks in the bag, man. It's all down to blood and guts, and that's really where it stands for the whole situation.
You know, that goes into what I told you about. Take a deep breath, man.
Because it's down there, man. It's in the trenches. It's like, you know, hey, Philip would understand. You know, all we got left is E-tools, and there's a couple 50 calibers up on the hill. Go get them.
That's it.
Squeeze. That's where it stands, man. It's that way.
You're going to make things happen, and it starts with a shift of your state of mind. So once you can change your state of mind, that's where your feet are going to go. Okay. Well, what you're doing right now, is it working?
I have to say, no. What I'm doing right now is a shift. What I'm doing right now is starting to show some sort of insight, but no, it hasn't been working.
Then you need a different way.
I'm seeing a clearer picture. Let's put it that way. I've had some revelations and some stuff revealed that I have finally faced. You know, I have finally faced some things, but as far as is it working at this very moment, no.
It will. You've got to get the right people in place. You've got to connect. See, maybe you're talking about Geneva, right? Where you met those people. Baker? Hello?
We lost him.
Is he gone?
We lost him. But I'm gonna bring in Betsy and Bill.
Absolutely.
Are you up for that, or you want to sit in the weeds and listen? Because this concerns you where you live, Janine.
Okay. I can listen first. I'm here. I'm
okay.
Here for whatever you want, Phil. You want to bring him on for a question first, or you want to tackle an issue, you go right ahead. Do whatever you want. I'm here for the ride.
Okay. Yeah,
okay.
Baker came back. Hold on a second.
Oh, he did. Okay.
Baker, are you there? Baker? Baker? Well, I'll just leave him unmuted and see what happens. Betsy.
Okay. Yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, but, you know, I didn't mean to make you guys wait. And let me bring Bill in right now.
Okay.
Bill?
Yes.
Hey, this is Philip, man. I'm sorry you had to wait a little bit. I thank you for your patience.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. How you doing out there?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real good. How you doing? I heard you had a shoulder surgery.
I'm facing some stuff down the road that is going to require some surgery, and I had to go through a little something yesterday. And,
I got 3 plates and 48 screws in my shoulder.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna have a bone graft and some plates and screws myself.
So yeah,
it'll all come together. You know, it's just
kind of hard to put
Bill
down.
I love the life I love, and I love the life I live. So I got to go through what it takes to.
I'm right there with you on that one.
Love.
I'm right there with you on that one.
So I'm just loving life and have to take the good with the bad.
But I want to congratulate you and Betsy for being the newest members of Bolt, along with Paul and Mike.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that very much. These are some good people, some real hard-working people, and have some definite skills and some definite talents that are going to, you know, go a long way towards achieving the goals of the Massachusetts motorcyclists, for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because what affects you affects me tomorrow. What affects me today affects you tomorrow also.
And well, actually, what affects us affects you 10 years later, I think.
I don't know. You know, I'm on the front line, Betsy.
But it was funny. We were talking about this earlier tonight, and it just seems like the things that you're doing now we had done a long time ago, you know?
Right. Like, you know, it all goes back to when something works for somebody, you know, they stick with it.
Right.
And sometimes people aren't accustomed to change.
Oh, that's true.
Until you really present it to them, and then, you know how that goes.
Yep. It's met with all kinds of opposition. People don't like change, basically.
No. Yeah, there's no sense in talking about change. It's more about experience than anything else.
I've already learned some things from Betsy, and I hope I learned some things from you too, Bill.
Well, I mean, that's a trade-off. The whole reason why Bolt seemed so attractive to us up here in Massachusetts was the fact that there are intellectual resources out there that we could certainly use to help with, and we believe that we have some resources here that we can help out our fellow motorcyclists with across the state. I mean, for the most part, we're pretty much national people that are involved in Bolt. You know, we haven't just stayed within the confines of Massachusetts, although that's where we, essentially are and do our essential work, but we've also, you know, Paul Cote, very much involved
great
with
great
the
guy.
American Motorcycle Association. Betsy puts out her biker bits, and she's she's receiving the recognition into the Motorcycle Hall of Fame in Sturgis coming up in August, and then we have Mike Longton, who's in the background for us, but he's doing a lot of stuff with respect to putting together he's had a website for us, but transitioning it from Justice Riders, which is Massachusetts based, to Bolt, which will take on a national flavor. So all of us have certainly had some experience outside of the state. We'll be bringing in more people as we get set up and we realize the direction that Massachusetts needs to go in. And we'll take it from there, and we'll be making some noise out here, and you'll hear it out there. Some of it you'll like, some of it you won't like so much, but watch it for a little while. The experience might, teach you something, or it might teach us how screwed up we were and shouldn't have tried it in the first place.
Yeah, but I want to apologize to both of you. Paul's got the first Bolt shirt.
Oh.
Well, no one deserves it more than Paul.
There you go. Our roving ambassador.
That's true. Where's he at? Louisiana now?
I think he was, New Orleans. He was down in New Orleans.
That's in Louisiana, Ben.
Yep, that's right.
But I gave him the shirt. We took a nice picture, and I apologize to you guys, but as soon as I get the next order, they'll be on their way.
Awesome.
What color
Thank
is the
you.
Shirt?
Black with the original Bolt logo.
Oh, well, man, I got a million black T-shirts, I'll tell you. I'm glad.
Black T-shirt like this one, Bill, trust me. You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah, well, I would absolutely be appreciative of it, that's for sure.
I would, too. I love black.
Yeah, well, I got a million black T-shirts, but I suppose a million
of
one
ain't
gonna
hurt
nothing.
Yeah, but this one will have special meaning.
Yeah, well, that's the cool thing about it is a lot of them do, And I've done a lot of traveling in this motorcyclist rights world over the last bunch of years, and I have a Bates Freedom of the Road, MMA from all over the country and Canada. They have a Bates, and they have another group that slips my mind at the moment up in Canada.
Yeah.
And then they have another organization, Motorcycle Action Group, in England. And those folks have been kind enough to give me shirts and even a patch in memory of Fred Hill, who died in prison because he refused to put on a helmet while alive in the country England, and the man just refused to put on a helmet. That was it, and tickets didn't do enough for him, so they kept locking him up in jail, and eventually the man died, but he died doing what he believed in. So, there's that patch is definitely in a frame and hanging up on my office wall.
Cool. Wow, that's really cool. And I just learned something.
Yeah, well, I don't know. That Motorcycle Action Group over there in England, they pretty much got themselves together. I've met a few of their people, and they've said some nice stuff about me in their newsletter, too, going back a bunch of years ago. I actually have
one of your letters from the National Highway Traffic and Safety Administration.
Oh, yeah?
From 2000.
Oh, it was a letter to me.
Right, correct.
Yeah, I kind of put those people on the spot where they had to give me an answer.
Yeah, and it was the correct answer.
Yeah, and then I could take that here to Massachusetts and make the bureaucrats and safety Nazis hate me a little bit more. And then I felt good for the day.
Oh, come on, a bit longer than that.
Yeah, probably. But, that was a long time. That was back when we were dealing with issues that you folks out west are dealing with a lot more now. We were dealing with them back then, and we pretty much got them at a standstill. But that was part of a puzzle, actually, as I recall. We were, state police were being really hard on the motorcycling community
right.
in Massachusetts over helmets. And that was just one piece of a puzzle that came together. Another part was just by accident, you know, I have another love, and that's music. And so I used to do concert photography. And just by accident, I happened to be covering a show on a really rainy day where state troopers on motorcycles had to escort the rock stars from the tent where we were all staying in, because we weren't going to go out in front in the rain to watch them play. So we'd all be in a tent eating and hanging out and whatever, and they'd take the rock stars and give them a motorcycle escort over to the record store tent so they could sign autographs. And so I got to shooting the shit with these cops and talking about their helmets and letting them rag on the type of helmets that I like to wear, and just letting them talk. I was able to learn, and I took some photographs of them too. With their nice bright orange state police raincoats on and their helmets sitting on their heads, because their heads always have to be covered while they're on duty, with no DOT sticker on the back of that helmet.
Right.
And there was no, and the helmet, when I looked it up in the NHTSA records, I found out that that helmet had failed. So
right, because they drilled a hole in it and painted it.
Well, not so much that. The helmet had actually failed testing while NHTSA had it, before the state police ever even had it.
Wow.
It was huge for us.
That was huge.
And that being a failure, and the fact that they were purchasing failed helmets
and wearing them and issuing them,
kind of put the nail
issue
in the coffin. You know, that hammered a nail in the coffin. And the funny part was, I took these pictures of these guys, and it was so wet out, I didn't know if my cameras were going to work or not. Those were in the days when we used film. And, you know, I rushed right down to my photo lab guy and said, you know, see what you can do with these rolls of film. And they came back with some beautiful pictures of these guys in their helmets and their state police jackets. And I mean, people handed me stuff in letters in Japanese or Chinese or whatever with my pictures of those helmets in it. So, you know, that thing went all around the world with as far as police policemen were wearing substandard helmets while they were harassing the hell out of motorcyclists for wearing what they considered substandard helmets. And that pretty much cured a problem for us. But,
yeah,
you know, that
was
yesterday for us, and yesterday's gone. But if that letter is something that helps you, then that's an intellectual resource that we have that we want to give to you and to all our Bolt brothers and sisters, and share our resources with you guys, and hopefully you all share some with us, and together we'll just keep on fighting the good fight for what is right.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And the one I have is actually says that evidence document number 5.
Yeah, that was what I put at the top of it, because I also put together a kit. A rather large kit, you know, a pretty heavy-duty kit. Back when I was doing it, it would fit on 4 or 5 of those floppy disks. And
wow.
The kit was for people to take with them and go into court and just, you know, use Microsoft to use the find and replace to just take out a word and throw their name in there and their ticket number and their whatever, and then they had a whole case to present to the court and walk out having won their ticket. And, you know, we were probably responsible for beating 500 or more tickets, I would think, in the time that we were active on it, until the state police finally conceded and gave up and said, you know, yeah, we're...
We'll leave you alone.
We got enough.
Yeah, they didn't want to fight us anymore. That's what we'd like to see you guys do with your insurance situation out there, too.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, there you go, Betsy. You've already talked to Mac.
I know, I did.
I think you might have to put something in writing.
Yeah, well, emails are in writing. I did that much. I mean, I certainly am happy and willing to share all the information that I have and how we went about it. I kind of got the feeling that it wasn't something that's ready to be addressed at this particular moment, but I'm hoping in the future it will be.
Right. Did either of you guys want to talk to Janine?
Hi, Janine.
Hi, Betsy.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, hey,
oh,
Janine, where's my hot blonde?
Hi.
I want another hot blonde. Can you look through your cards and find me a Barbie doll?
I could.
Now, Bill said he didn't want a reading, but turn a card for him, honey. Go ahead.
I absolutely will. How are you
tonight?
You
will find me that blonde?
You might get a brunette. You never know.
Let me see what I get for you, Bill, okay?
The only thing you can't ask Janine is about the winning lottery numbers. She keeps those secret.
You know what? I keep that for myself. I'm just kidding.
Well, you got to keep some things for yourself. That's kind of like an intellectual masturbation. That's okay.
You're killing me, man. You're killing me.
I'm adopting that phrase. I love it.
Okay.
Yeah, I've used it for a long time. I'm a pretty arrogant
piece
of crap when I have to be.
I am too. You know, I get in the habit of saying, yeah, my name's Philip and I'm here to help.
He writes that in a lot of his emails.
Really?
Yeah.
I write too wild to tame is my sign off.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Bill,
if you
how's
like
your...
it that much, go back and find it. It's an old record by a band called The Boys, a Chicago blues band from back in the late 70s. They were called The Boys, B-O-Y-Z.
They used to play on the West Side.
They were a white blues band.
Yeah.
They put out one album, and it was called Too Wild to Tame, I think. And they were a tremendous act.
They used to play on the West Side when I was a kid.
Yeah, well,
I'm from Chicago.
I was a kid when I went to see them, but I sure was glad I did when they played in Boston.
I do
great
remember
great album,
them.
Great slogan, and hopefully she'll flip a great Barbie doll for me.
There
and,
you go.
Yeah, when my shoulder all heals up, then, you know, I can tire out another one.
That's nice. Okay, there's no Barbie doll here, though. So,
You might have to just
wait for her. You might have to wait for her. She's not coming up right this second. But your family is.
Well, I'm not used to that. If we're talking about a woman, I'm waiting for her. I'm forever waiting.
You know what?
I don't need cards to know you have to wait for a woman.
Yeah, you definitely don't need me to tell you that either.
Right.
You don't need me
to
tell you that
either. No, I've had two girlfriends.
Really?
That's all?
I needed more.
No, I know.
Okay, Bill, where is your family?
Where
are
my
they right
family?
Now? Yeah.
Well, I like to think I'm talking to them.
There you
Aww.
Go.
Hey, thank you.
That's
your real family.
Actually,
your kids.
I keep my family life private and my social life private from my activist life, and you know, keep all those ducks in a row. I'm big on family. I have three of the most wonderful daughters in the whole wide world. Who've been so good to me. You know, I've had, some tough times the past few years with illnesses, and I have three of the most wonderful daughters in the world, wonderful sisters, two of them being nurses, and I have six grandchildren that just light up my life. But I try and keep them all separate from this, although Betsy will tell you, my grandson seems to show up at things with me while my bike was down.
He's a little activist in training.
Yeah, he has a Nikon around his neck, and he's already been published.
Yep.
Oh, well,
he's a sweetie,
too. Well, that's very cute. What is coming up here has nothing to do with your activist lifestyle. Okay, this is a personal thing. So what comes up, the first card I flipped was the sense of family. And so I would suggest that you stay very close to your family, as close as possible. And that is how you're successful, is because of your family. So that's what you need right now, is to get in touch with your family and spend time with your family. And is it true that you're going in for surgery? Is that what was said in the very beginning when you came on?
In July, yeah.
In July. So before July and then even after July, make sure you're surrounded by your family, because that's going to be a process of you healing, and it's going to be because of your family too. So
I'm surrounded by my family all the time. I mean, I'm in the process. I've been healing from this accident since last June.
Oh, my God.
It's been a long road.
Yeah, well, you have a good family, and that's part of...
I have a wonderful family,
And they're coming up like that, very loving, very connected, very together, and that's exactly what you need now, too, more than ever. So make sure that stays current. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Oh, sure. Well, that is kind of my parents, who I miss terribly. They raised us, and even as far as our cousins, we were all raised to treat our cousins like siblings and to be very close with our cousins. I have cousins in Sarnia, Ontario, on the other side of Detroit, that when I go across the country, I always cut across Canada just to visit with them. I have cousins in upstate New York, initially from New York City. So, I spent a lot of time with family. And family is very important. The day that I had my accident, my first thought was I was supposed to be picking up my grandson from school. And now I'm in an ambulance, and I won't be able to go get him. And I called one of my daughters to see about someone making sure my grandson gets picked up at school, and to them, that's the least of their worries. And all of a sudden, in the emergency room, I'm surrounded by sisters, my children, a grandchild, and a few of my coworkers. I mean, it was just amazing how quick word got out that some guy didn't turn his head and look before he pulled out of a parking space and tried to wreck my beautiful motorcycle.
Did he get ticketed for that right away?
Never got ticketed for it. He almost got punched for it. That's how I knew my shoulder
was
broken.
I was wondering if he ever got cited.
No, he never got cited for that.
That's
you know, even the there was a witness that made him stop and stay still and not try and take off and get away.
Wow.
He was never ticketed for that. It was
It
was an accident, I just said at the time being, I was going to hit him with a left hook and realized I couldn't move my left side.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things, that it was an accident. He made an error in judgment, and I'm hoping he learns from it and will always turn his head and look before he ever pulls out of a space again and, causes a motorcyclist to wipe out. So maybe, I've helped somebody.
You're kind of lucky on that aspect, because I got hit by a guy who was on his third DUI. I was going 80 miles an hour, and he hit me, and I was riding mine like a jet ski. I hit the bot dot, and the next thing I know, I was in an ambulance going to the hospital.
Yeah, that guy definitely needed a bunch of left hooks, then. He hasn't learned nothing.
Hey, let me clue you in here. He got 7 years straight time. And when he got to where he was going, some people talked to him and said, Philip said hello. Next thing I know, they put him in, he's in, what do they call it, not solitary, but segregated population.
Yeah, well, that can happen. Some years ago, I started a program called Bikers Behind Bars, which was pretty successful. The Bait of Indiana picked up on it. Bait of Florida picked up on it. You know, I did a bunch of traveling around telling people how it worked for us in Massachusetts, and we saw some neat things come out of it throughout the country. And gradually, all of our people pretty much got released, and the program kind of fell to the wayside because we didn't have any more people on the inside, so that was a good thing.
That it was.
But personally, I prefer that somebody doesn't go inside, that they stay outside.
Right.
So that I can deal with it personally. You know, I'm not a big person. I don't believe in jails and, you know, this killer biker go to jail, stuff like that. I don't believe in that. I'm not a big person on sending someone to jail. You know, I think a lot of people want to send people to jail for vengeance. But vengeance isn't, you know, the court system isn't set up for vengeance. It's set up for justice. Vengeance
That's
is
correct.
Mine.
And I think,
you know,
I think the day that guy got the 7 years, justice was served. They got him the next day, and he blew a .24 when they arrested him.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The
well,
next
he definitely
day?
Should not have been on the road, but there's a lot of them
right.
out there. I think that that won't happen to them, you know. And
hey, I've gotten in fist fights with friends because I let the air out of their tires on their bike so they wouldn't ride it home.
Yeah, well,
I've taken keys
you
from
get your
people
ass
before.
Kicked and keep a brother alive.
Yeah,
absolutely. But then after a couple of days, and they thought about it, they said thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that's I had a friend who died of cancer. Oh, God, a little bit more than 10 years ago now. He was one of the founders of MMA in Massachusetts, a big giant of a man called Big Al Hogan.
Oh, yeah.
And I can remember he telling me one time he was pissed off that some of his brothers didn't take his keys away, and he ended up getting pulled over by the cops, and he was a giant of a man. And I said, well, you know, who's going to take keys away from someone the size of you? You know, he was a giant Hell's Angel. And, you know, he turned around and he said, well, somebody ever said, you know, give me the keys, I probably would give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, you know, apparently, you know, nobody said that to you. But as it turned out, one time I told him to give me his keys, and he did. But then I had to put him up in a motel room in Leominster. So, you know, that ended up costing me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at least you didn't lose your friend to the road.
That's true.
He was actually out there to visit. We had two guys from MMA California come out. We were having a conference when I was involved with MMA in Massachusetts, and two guys from California came out, one of them being Ron Roloff, who's no longer with us, but did a lot for the motorcyclists. So while he was alive, he died in 1991 through one of the most horrible of circumstances. And the other was a Oakland Hells Angel by the name of Johnny A., who he's in Cave Creek now, and we're still in touch. He came out to Boston, too, and so that's why Big Al was up there with us, and I think he had another Hells Angel prospect with him. And how we were all together, we were actually there to do some good work and activism, and for some reason we always seem to get to partying when it's all over with. But we were there for a seminar, and the MMA folks from California heard about our seminars and how successful they were and wanted to come out and see one for themselves. So we were happy to have them.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was back in like 1990 or so. You know, I keep talking about things that, you know, we did in the past, and, you know, the past is gone, yesterday's gone, and we need to focus on today and tomorrow, because that's what's really going down. And we have that deal going on in Boston right now, and we're kind of in a lull and a stalemate over this business of if your mufflers stamp, the EPA stamp on your muffler isn't readily visible, then you can be ticketed, get a $300 fine, even from a meter maid, while your bike is parked and you're in a restaurant eating or whatever, and all of a sudden you come walking out of Hooters and saying, I got a $300 ticket on my bike.
Wait. You weren't in Hooters looking for the Barbie doll, were you?
I was looking for Jan in the card. I figured she'd be there, you know, with the Barbie dolls. But
she's still there?
No, they closed that Hooters. So she doesn't hang out there much anymore. But, we've got this fight going on in Boston, and
now they're afraid to give us a ticket.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, well, partly because the judge originally said that if a ticket was given and it goes to court and it's proven to be unconstitutional, then the city of Boston, that's already in financial straits, has to reimburse the rider every single cent they spent to fight the ticket.
There you go. My kind of judge.
They're
a
little afraid.
Fight.
A lot of the Boston cops do ride, and they all have louder pipes, or as loud pipes.
Absolutely.
And
I have the same situation going on here.
They don't want to be bothered with this. This all started with some politician who was looking to buy votes, basically, and three disgruntled people out of I don't know how many hundreds of thousands of residents. But, I mean, that just goes to show you how things can get blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm. I just got a call today from Texas about that.
Lap.
I just got a call from a lady in Texas about that, that they pulled her over and told her pipes were too loud, and she asked where the meter was. They didn't have a meter. The guy said, I'm a professional. I'm a professional. It sounds too loud to me, which is bullshit.
Well, yeah, he's got to be an engineer before he can even start with something like that.
Right.
But this makes it easier for the police. They don't have to hear the bike. All they have to do is look at the mufflers, and if they don't see the EPA stamp on it, then they can write the $300 ticket.
Right. And
a lot of policemen, I don't think, will write the tickets, but I'm sure the meter maids will.
Right. The other thing, too,
given
the
go-ahead.
There are other communities that have been watching this, and just yesterday, Northampton, New Hampshire actually passed a noise ordinance very similar to this one. And the police chief commented that he didn't even think it was constitutional and that he felt it would be a problem to enforce, but yet it got passed and voted on. So it just goes to show you what's going on and how we have to stay vigilant and keep fighting these things as they pop up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they vote
absolutely
on a lot of silly shit out here. The day before yesterday, the same Boston City Council also voted that they would buy nothing from the state of Arizona because of their new immigrant law or something. So, I mean, that's
idiotic.
Pretty stupid. Yeah, you know, we're not going to buy nothing from Arizona because that's 2,500 miles away.
Yeah, hello.
I mean, it was just to make a statement.
Right.
And apparently, they wanted to do something with the pipe system, and then when they realized there were people going to stand up to them, it's just turned out that all they've made is a statement. They haven't even got it in their ticket books yet and haven't gotten any training on how to write tickets or anything like that. So this being an allow and how, you know, is good time for us to accumulate our resources, and that's basically what we're looking to do is accumulate more resources and get more people involved and understanding
right.
what the fight is, because it starts here, it's going to move to other places
it
and
already
to other
has.
Places, and if we don't, you know, set the standard and then help these other places with information on it, then, you know, we're not doing everything we need to be doing. And there are some websites for people who are listening in if they're in this area or even if they're not in this area, but they want to get in touch with it. Betsy knows all those websites and stuff, and she can run them down
for
you.
Yeah, I can direct people.
Because we are looking for more people to get with us and help with us. And we're also looking to help other people if we can.
Right.
Man, I appreciate that. You guys, I really appreciate that. It's like you said a little while ago, you were talking to your family, and basically that's what it is.
Yeah,
we all have a family. Yeah.
And
we have to
help each other, because if we don't, these silly laws that persecute us are going to be popping up all over the place, and then it'll be, you know, too late. Well,
it's like I told you before, Betsy, if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, speaking of bending over, Jan, how are we doing with those Bobby dolls?
Janine.
Yeah.
Janine, oh, I'm sorry, Janine.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
My father calls me Jan. That's
all right. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, we're...
He's still looking for his Barbie doll.
He's still looking for Ms. Barbie.
Well,
yeah, no, there isn't...
Dolls is plural.
You know, they ain't coming. I have nothing for you with the Barbie dolls. I wish I did.
Oh,
I wish I could be that
girl
for you.
Prom night. Thanks for bringing
but
back
I wanna
prom
tell
night.
Well, I want to tell you, too, you got to take very good care of your heart. Okay? So whatever you get from the doctor for advice, I would start following it because you want to keep that ticking.
Yeah, we already had to do our stress test. The heart
good.
Is good.
How did you do? You did good?
I did very good.
Then you make sure it stays that way, okay?
Yeah, okay, well.
You got to take good care of your heart. It's coming up. Your heart is very important. And after the procedure, it's going to be very important that you take good care to make sure that you don't get stressed out, you know, that you're eating right. Make sure all that is in place and make sure you take good care of yourself.
Eating right is something that I don't do.
Yeah, well, you might have to change that.
Well,
you
I can't
might
change
have
that.
To.
No,
of course
I can't
you
change
can.
It.
You can get that blonde to cook for him.
Well,
yeah,
it's not the eating and the swallowing part.
Yeah, Bill is a cancer survivor as well.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
we don't swallow very well, so I tend to live off a formula.
Real? Oh.
Can you tolerate stuff like baby food, like, I know it's not tasty, mush peas and stuff?
When I was in the hospital, I had cellulitis in one of the radiation sites. They tried pureeing food for me, and it looked like dog shit on a plate, so...
Oh, God.
I just sent it back, but applesauce, stuff like that, I go for. You know, I ate a thin crust pizza not too long ago.
I did see you eat a pizza. It blew my mind.
Yeah, I couldn't do the crust, but I could eat the pizza. And, one of my kids is a teacher, and she goes to the cook and gets me chicken croquettes. And so I can eat chicken croquettes because they're nice and soft, and
so
chicken was my favorite
stuff.
Meal.
I'm going to start looking up some recipes for you.
Yeah.
But we got to find Miss Barbie to cook them.
Okay, what about, can you do herbal teas? Are you able to do tea?
Well, I like tea. Tea, though, can be too thin, and that's a problem because if I take something that's boiled, it's too thin, it might go down the wrong pipe. And you know how when you have something go down the wrong pipe, you gag,
oh,
and
yeah,
the gag reflex, it kind of comes up. That doesn't happen for me because the radiation treatments burnt up that muscle. So if I took something that thin, went right down the wrong pipe, I could get a respiratory disease.
Yeah, that's.
What about a smoothie?
Well, those seem to be better now. Can do those more so than I can ice cream. Ice cream gives me the same problem because when ice cream starts out, it's thick, but when it gets inside, it gets very thin.
It gets very thin, right. If there's any way that you can boost up any of your sustenance points, so to speak, maybe look into what you could do about your diet.
Yeah, well, the diet is a formula.
It's
got
formula.
All the nutrients. It's got everything that, you know, it's... but
is that
tastes,
like Ensure-like?
Yes, except it tastes a little better.
Oh, okay.
You know, once the prescription runs out in this formula, then I'm going to have to stop buying Ensure and stuff like that, I suppose.
Right.
But,
well,
I'm just trying to think of other options. So could you do
maybe
a pea soup or something?
No. Hey, you know, I'm alive. I'm doing fine. Let's go back to motorcyclists, right?
All right. Okay.
And Barbie dolls.
You got it.
I'm an arrogant son of a bitch, and you know I beat this cancer too. So, you know.
Well, I'm glad that you asked me a question. I appreciate that. Thank you for letting me turn over for you.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I always like a girl who turns over for me.
How did I know
and
that
I,
was coming?
I know how. So I'm glad to be here for you. I hope that you're well. Good luck on your surgery.
Thank you.
You're very
thank
welcome.
You.
Phil, I'm that's it for me.
Okay. Thank you, Janine.
All right,
you're
Janine.
Very welcome.
Good night, honey. I'll talk to you soon.
You call me whenever you want.
All right, I will. Thank you.
Phil, I'll catch up with you. You're welcome. Phil, I'll catch up with you during the week. Have a wonderful show. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And like I said, Hermes will see you in about a week, he said.
I can't wait. I'm so
okay.
excited.
Let me know if they fit. Right.
Oh, I will. Are you kidding?
I'm envious. She got a shirt.
Oh.
I know, Betsy. I know.
I know. Well, I'm also promised a pair of brass
They're
ones.
They're coming.
Okay.
They just cut them today. They're going to be chromed.
Oh, God.
Well,
right.
Look at there you go. Well, there you go. Well, thank
you.
Well,
I'll let you in
me.
On it. Betsy needs a set of balls, so I had the machinist make me two of them for her.
After the reading I gave her, you go and send
well,
her to send her a set of balls?
I have to explain it to you. It's a comment that Paul made, actually.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and I don't know how I got involved, but yeah, she's getting a set of balls.
It's just a symbolism, Betsy. It's
I
just
know,
a symbolism.
But I always wanted to know what it felt like to have a set, you know.
Well, now you're going to know.
I guess.
Actually, they weigh about 7 ounces, almost 8 ounces, so yeah.
They'll, oh, wow.
Put one in each pocket, you'll be right at home.
Oh, great.
All right, Betsy, I have a question for you. Are you actually going to put these bad dogs in your underwear, really? Going to actually know what it's like to walk around with a set of balls?
I don't think so. I'll probably put them on my desk, though.
Even better.
I'll tell her what I told you, Betsy. I get a piece of redwood and a little sign made up that says, go ahead, mess with me.
Oh, I think that's hysterical.
Absolutely. It's all you. You got the power now. How can
yeah, she has balls. She'll
that?
Have balls that clank now.
Oh my
yeah,
god!
Exactly. Exactly. What man has that? They might clank, but they're not making any noise.
She said that, not me.
Yes, I
said
can.
It.
That's right, I said it. All right, well, you guys have a wonderful evening. Thank you for having me on, Phil.
You're welcome. Thank you for coming.
Absolutely. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. God bless.
Absolutely.
So, what's up? Hey, Betsy, I know what I was going to ask you. Tell me about this women's ride.
Well, I sent you everything that I got from Vicki.
Mm-hmm.
It's about helping veterans, and I think that's pretty much all I know.
More for the women vets, right?
Pardon?
It was more for the women vets,
for the women
vets, right?
Vets, yeah. And they're leaving Wisconsin and riding down through Texas.
Through Texas, yes. And they're going to hit the VAs on the way down?
Yep.
Yeah,
well,
because,
you seem to know as much about it, or if not more than I do, so why don't you share them?
Because I just wanted you to know, I read your email.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and no, but what I was going to say was that everybody forgets that there's women on the front lines also.
Right, right.
And there's more and more recognition coming. If you're within a mile of VA, stop in, say hello.
Absolutely.
Don't be afraid.
Oh, and on that same note, I told you earlier, I received a note from Farmer.
Yeah, I read that.
Yeah.
Cool.
That was awesome. It was nice to know that after all he had been through serving for our country while some scumbag lowlife was ripping him off, that he came home to a house full of stuff, clothing. Everything had been replaced by people fundraising for him while he was serving for us overseas.
And thank you for letting me get involved in that.
Oh, I'm glad I challenged you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now you know I'm up to the challenge.
Awesome.
Just like you challenged me with a set of balls. But, That's in a nutshell, you know. Vicky's got her own balls on this one.
Oh, absolutely. My hat's off to her. I told her I wish I could take time. I'd go out there and meet up with them or something. I think.
Yeah, but
wonderful.
You don't want to take your bike on a trailer, Betsy. You have to ride it.
No, don't start with me. No, I would ride.
I'm not starting. I'm telling the truth.
Oh, busting my aggies.
No, I mean, I'm only joking, Betsy.
Well, I appreciate that.
She's the one that talked about the trailer, Bill, not me.
It had to do with this trip out to Sturgis. He asked me if I was going to ride it out this year. And I don't think I have time. I was going to ship my bike and fly. Or I was going to ride with it and ride straight through.
Well, if you're going to ride with it, just ride it. It takes the same amount of time.
Exactly.
Have you ever ridden out to Sturgis?
Well, no. The thing is, if we ride out, it's going to be like straight through without stopping. I don't think I can do that on a bike.
No, well, I wouldn't bother doing it. I'd take my time and enjoy the ride because
well,
it's one
that's
of the more
what I did the last
take.
Time I went out, but I don't have 3 weeks this year to do it.
Well, you're your own boss, right? Give yourself 3 weeks off.
That's not that easy.
Okay.
Well,
but,
actually,
you know,
I always leave Sturgis by Thursday because it gets too crowded for me.
Yeah, last time I was there, it was asshole to belly button.
Yeah, so by Thursday, I leave
Well,
Sturgis
the one good thing about Sturgis is there's always so many other places to go outside of downtown to ride, so that it isn't quite as congested.
Yeah, and I always make some fun stops on the way back, places like visiting family or the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is always a nice take-in in Cleveland.
Yeah.
I hit different Hard Rock cafes and, make the most out of it. I always try to avoid Chicago because I hate riding through that area. And I just hate the traffic. So, I'll go an extra 600 miles and go above the Great Lakes and find myself, going across Canada and then hitting the Black Hills from the north, and that's one of the most beautiful rides I ever took in my whole life.
So I
and
heard.
When you go from the north, you can see why they're called the Black Hills. Coming from the east, they look green, but when you come down from the north, you see they surely are the Black Hills. And, I mean, if you're going to, you know, sit in a car with the bike, you got to get out of the car to enjoy it. At least if you're on the bike, you're in it and you're enjoying it constantly.
No, I know that.
I just did that in Tennessee, man. It was great. That ride I had was priceless.
Yeah, Tennessee's got some pretty places to ride. You know,
when I got to the house, I looked like a little kid who got a Christmas toy. It was crazy.
That's what I was like my first time out in Sturgis. And then when I took my solo ride from Boston to Florida and
mm-hmm.
went and did the Blue Ridge, oh, unbelievable.
Yeah, well, the Blue Ridge, that ends up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That is a cool little town. I've done that before. You know, I left Myrtle Beach Rally one time to go to Atlanta because I'd never been there to, you know, to stop and eat. I've, you know, changed
lanes
in Atlanta.
Where is a cool city?
Yeah, Atlanta was fun. I met a bunch of kids going to prom and tried to pick up on their Barbie dolls.
We're getting towards the end,
mm-hmm.
and I invite you guys to come back next week. And I promise you won't sit in the chat room. I'll bring you in right away, and we'll talk about what's going on.
Okay.
And
Bill,
I appreciate
you
guys calling
in.
I'm gonna close it out with a Baker song. And if you guys would just check out this song because it's pretty cool. It's called.
Thanks for having me on, Phil.
All right, I'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right, babe.
All right.
It was nice to talk to you guys.
Oh, I didn't even know you were still there, honey.
I was listening the whole time, but I had it on mute.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. It's good to talk to you, Betsy. You have a good night.
You too, Missy.
Bill, you take care.
Okay. Thank you. God bless.
God bless.
All right, I'm gonna play a Baker song, Ride. So if you haven't heard this, you might want to listen to it. It's very cool. It makes you want to just get on your bike and go for a ride.
Right on.
Desert air feels good on. They have no probable cause to. Both